Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Sing out.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the
rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to...
Hallelujah. We are live, and welcome back. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. We're broadcasting from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the suburb of Rockville, Maryland. Welcome back to all the national listeners in the United States of America, as well as the global listeners. This evening's segment at the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour will be covering the door to rapture. This is the message of the Lord given by the mighty prophet of the Lord, Dr. David Owoor. This is the door to rapture. We see in the scriptures over and over again from our Messiah and Lord and Savior, warning us and admonishing us that the gate is narrow and few be there that enter. In the studio for this evening's segment, we have joining us from Los Angeles, California, Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California altar. And we thank the Lord and bless the Lord for Pastor Jose. And also we have from Maryland Altar, Pastor Raymond Ruffel, and I am your co-host this evening's segment. My name is Pastor Louis Lupo, also of the Maryland Altar. This evening's segment has been transcribed also and translated into Spanish, for the Spanish-speaking audience. And also for the Spanish-speaking audience, there is a website, arrepiente.org, with the messages of the Lord and all translations in Spanish as well. Before we get to this evening's segment, Door to Rapture from the Mighty Prophet, I'd like to go out to the California altar and Pastor Jose. And Pastor Jose, what has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening's segment?
Amen, Pastor Lou. Shalom. And shalom to all the precious saints that are tuned in to the Lord's broadcast, to the Lord's message to the nations, the Lord's message to the United States of America. And as Pastor Lou mentioned about the Spanish link that we will that also shares the message in Spanish, arrepiéntete.org, that is, you can find that link on repentandprepare.org. And there's also many different language translations. I'm not sure how many, but there's quite a few. And as always, they are all free. All the messages of the Lord are free. There's tons of audio information, video also on YouTube, and they are all free. And they are all the messages of the Lord given to the mighty prophet of the Lord. And this segment, as Pastor Lou had mentioned, this is the segment, The Door to the Rapture. And we are so close, precious saints, to the return of the Messiah. The past messages we have been sharing of the Lord just shows how close we are to the return of our Lord and Savior. And all we have to do also is look into the secular news and see how intense the situation has become in Israel and around the globe, how the violence has spread to against the Israelis, even in European countries and across the globe. And this is very familiar to the World War II situation, as the hatred began and violence began to spread throughout Europe. And we are seeing these same events. And we're seeing Israel become isolated. And we know that the Lord is with Israel and will protect his land. And these are the days we are living in, precious saints. We are living in the end times. We have the mightiest prophet of the Lord among us. We are hearing and are being fed directly from heaven. The oil and the wine church, the Holy Spirit is feeding us directly from heaven, precious saints. This is the message of the Lord, precious saints. This is not the message of man. This is not a book written by man. This is the revelation of the Lord to his church, the church of the Lord at this hour, the church that the Lord himself is restoring and has sent a mighty messenger who has power and authority given to him, just like the prophets of old, just like the mighty prophet Elijah. There's no difference. And we have mentioned, Pastor Lou, myself, and many others that are here from the United States of America are eyewitnesses to this mighty revival that has broken out from the land of Kenya. We have seen this with our very own eyes. We have seen millions of people, precious saints. This is no exaggeration. 35 acres completely filled, shoulder to shoulder, of people worshiping the Lord, receiving the Lord, repenting before the Lord, seeking Him in complete righteousness, seeking His holiness. Because we know that the Bible says in Hebrews 12:14 that without holiness, no one will see the Lord, precious saints. And holiness is one thing that the church in America has lost. There is no holiness. There has been a mingling with the world. They have compromised with the ways of the world, with sin. I want to read from the word of the Lord, from the book of Psalms 127, verse 1. This is the book of Psalms 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Precious saints, we need the Lord to restore His altars and His church. We need to be vessels, usable by the Holy Spirit, by the mighty Holy Spirit at this hour. As many know, the hour we are currently standing in, we know that the Messiah will soon return for His bride. And that bride is a bride that is making herself ready, that is being fed and preparing at this hour, preparing her garments, her wedding garments, without spot or wrinkle. So this is a bride that is separating herself from the world, completely separate, being fed directly from heaven, precious saints. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jose. That was Pastor Jose Bobadilla from that California altar. He's joining us in the studio by phone from Los Angeles, California. And you can see the Lord is respecter of no persons, no states, and no country. For that's the unadulterated gospel message coming from Los Angeles, California. And don't we know it, the way of the Lord, He will establish two witnesses. We find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This is the testimony of the Lord, and He will bring forth witnesses throughout a nation. And that's what the precious listeners are hearing in this evening segment and continuously, even in the earlier segments where we shared these messages of the Lord for the pale horse, the white horse, the four apocalyptic horsemen, the red horse and the black horse. And we do see the signs developing all around us, a world in anguish, a world fretting for what is coming upon it, just like our Lord and Savior told us in Luke, a world that's in convulsions. And these are the days of distress. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, we are not to abuse the grace of our Lord and Savior. We're not to abuse the blood and the cross, the infinite price that only Christ could pay, the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb without defect, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, that we could enter the door to the rapture. It's important to note for all the listeners and precious listeners throughout the United States, the victory is already won. and the price has already, the only question remains for those in the United States and for those throughout the world is, will they decide, will you decide to enter into the kingdom of God? That's a decision that the Lord leaves to us. He chooses us first. We don't choose the Lord. But once he's chosen us, as many are called and few are chosen, what then will we do with the message that we hear from the Lord, the call to walk in righteousness, the call to walk in holiness, the call to walk in agreement with the Lord, the call to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, with the holy word that he shared, the holy word that he continues to share even today, the message of the Lord. Through the mighty prophet, the Lord has sent his servant to prepare the church, to reform the church, a church that has totally backslidden, even here in the United States of America, where we seem to lead the way in many things that it would be preferable that we not lead in, particularly in the way that the church has gone astray from holiness, watered down the gospel, and has mixed and mingled with the world and with the Hollywood movies and with the entertainment. We've become obsessed with feeding our flesh, and we have strayed so far from the word of the Lord. We have strayed so far from righteousness. What the Lord is telling us now, now's the time to prepare. We find in the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, and just worth reading all the way through, but just a target scripture, verse 7, this is Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." That was Matthew chapter 3. We're reading the word of the Lord, verses 7 through 10, and we see the call to repentance, and so it is today. The Lord sends his servant before the coming of the Messiah. And so it is today. The Lord has sent his servant right before the coming of the Messiah that we would enter the door to rapture. And notice very clearly that John points out that lip service is not the measure. No, the measure is fruit, the fruit of repentance. That means that when we repent and we turn away and we reform from sin, we no longer go about doing that. It's the mighty Holy Spirit that helps us prepare the garment of the Lord in righteousness and holiness. And whereas grace is not to be abused to sin all we want, on the contrary, we have the grace of the Lord to overcome sin. And we see in verse 8, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is the same fruit that we see and the same type of phraseology as well when the Lord shares the parable of the sower that goes out to sow seeds. And again, in Matthew chapter 7, again we see fruit as the ultimate acid test. It's the ultimate acid test. You know, coconuts come from coconut trees, and pineapples come from pineapple trees, and righteousness and holiness comes from the tree of our Lord. And the things of the world, lying and deceit and sexual sin and commingling and the dilution of the gospel, that comes from another source. Online with us also, I believe that's Pastor Raymond from Maryland Altar showing up on the switchboard. Is that you, Pastor Raymond, or Pastor Albanus from Maryland Altar?
It's me, Pastor Lou.
Hallelujah,
Raymond.
Pastor Raymond.
Shalom.
Shalom. Hey, Pastor Raymond.
Pastor Lou and Pastor Jose.
Shalom, Pastor Raymond.
Well, I don't want to add too much to what you guys have already said. I would just like to bring everybody to remembrance as far as the times we're living in. I really don't watch the secular news that much, but yesterday I had CNN on, and it was just one crisis after another after another. And originally I'm from Sierra Leone, and you know the Bible talks about disease and pestilence in the last days, and Ebola is kind of spreading, the virus is spreading to the point where they had a hero doctor who was, I guess, the main doctor fighting this disease or virus over there, and it turned out he has the virus himself now, you know. And 90% of the people who get that virus die. And today on the news that kind of pops up on my phone, a doctor in Liberia has also contacted the virus and has the virus in Liberia. That's next door to Sierra Leone. And two American citizens in Nigeria now have the virus as well. So it is like all over Africa. Over 600 to 700 people have died so far, and then you see Israel, you see the Ukraine, you see Syria, you see so many things going on in the world, and the mighty prophet warned us about the horsemen of the apocalypse roaming the earth, and it is very visible. And one more thing, in 2012, 2 years ago, the mighty prophet talked about airline distresses. Over this past week or so, we've had about 3 or 4 airlines to crash, you know. And he talked about it. He said if they would increase, they would continue.
Yes.
And, you know, we have open heaven right now. The grace of God is available for us. And I just urge everybody to take it very seriously, because the Apostle Paul warned in Romans 6, we cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Note that we who are dead to sin can live no longer therein. We have to remember that. And we just have to try to keep on walking and persevering, because time is really ticking. And that's all I would like to say, Pastor.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. That's Raymond Russell from Maryland Altar bringing up some items that are running. These are hot off of the press from the Pale Horse, and it's true. One of the most deadliest viruses on planet Earth is now almost pandemic in Africa. It is impacting even U.S. physicians that are overseas, so it's no longer just a village type of outbreak. And these are the days of distress. These are the plagues and the pestilence that have been prophesied by the Messiah. And again, we heard from the mighty prophet, and also with the airline distress. This is no time to make light. This is the time for the church to get serious. It's time to put away the jokes. It's time to put away the preaching of money. And let's get Let's get to the message of the Lord. This is the door to rapture. We will be back after this segment. Amen.
What does it mean? when the Lord began to speak to me about the wedding of the Lamb of God.
¿Cuál es el significado cuando el Señor me empezó a hablar sobre las bodas del Cordero de Dios?
And I can trace back the conversation from 11th of November, the year 2003.
Y puedo recordar las conversaciones del 11 de noviembre de 2013.
When he was pursuing me to talk to me about this mighty wedding of the Lamb, so I may come and serve him.
Cuando él me perseguía y me hablaba sobre esa poderosa boda del Cordero para que yo viniera a servirle.
And at that time, I did not understand the calling. And that was the voice that was saying.
Y en ese tiempo yo no entendía el llamado. Esa era la voz que me decía.
Go tell the four ends of the earth to repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And I did not understand.
Ve, dile a los cuatro confines de la tierra que se arrepientan y preparen el camino del Señor. Y yo no entendía.
And then it came down to, because it was difficult at that time to perceive the gravity, even the depth of what that means.
Porque en ese tiempo era difícil percibir la gravedad y la profundidad de lo que esto significaba.
And then the 2nd of April, the year 2004, when finally in that mighty visitation of the Lord finally presented John the Baptist on my right hand side.
Y el 2 de abril del año 2004, cuando el Señor finalmente me presentó a Juan el Bautista a mi lado derecho.
And John the Baptist began to speak with me about the wedding of the Lamb of God, about the coming of the glorious Lamb of God.
Y Juan el Bautista empezó a hablar conmigo sobre la boda del Cordero de Dios, sobre esa gloriosa venida del Cordero de Dios.
What does that mean to the church?
¿Qué significa esto para la iglesia?
And then the 17th, by the way, 17th of March, the year 2004, the first time in a mighty vision showed me how he is coming to wrap the church.
De hecho, el 17 de marzo del año 2004, él me mostró en una poderosa visión cómo será cuando el Señor venga a raptar a la iglesia.
The day the Lord walked for me across the sky, and every footprint he left was glorious, glorious across the sky. I could see everywhere he walked.
El día que el Señor caminó a través de todo el cielo frente a mí y todos sus pasos eran gloriosos, gloriosos. Y pude ver por dónde él caminó.
In that mighty visitation.
En esa poderosa visitación.
And then he showed me how the rapture will take place. How he would rapture the asleep in the dust of the earth.
Entonces me mostró cómo iba a ocurrir el arrebatamiento. Cómo arrebataría a los que duermen en el polvo de la tierra.
And also how he would rapture the holy living Christians.
Y también cómo arrebataría a los cristianos santos que todavía están vivos.
After that, I am jumping into the 1st of November, the year 2006.
Después de esto, estoy avanzando al 1 de noviembre del año 2006.
When he presented the wedding rings in the sky. Now talking about the wedding of the Lamb of God. Two wedding rings, one for Christ, the Messiah, and the other for the church.
Cuando él me mostró los anillos de boda en el cielo, me refiero a las bodas del Cordero de Dios. Son dos anillos, uno para Cristo el Mesías y el otro para la iglesia.
And then, come now the 26th of November 2006.
Y ahora, llegando al 26 de noviembre del año 2006,
at Kehancha, when we had this binational repentance at Sirare, Tanzania, and also Kehancha.
Durante un arrepentimiento nacional en Kehancha, que también incluyó a Tanzania.
Then he speaks with me how they are asleep in the dust of the earth.
Y entonces me habla sobre cómo están durmiendo en el polvo de la tierra.
Those who are dead Christians, wholly dead. The righteous people who died when they were righteous. They had repented.
Cristianos que murieron santos, que murieron justificados, gente de justicia que se arrepintió.
How they will be raptured and caught up in the wedding of the Lamb.
¿Cómo serían arrebatados y llevados a las bodas del Cordero?
And then, after that, the third of May, I'm just mentioning the main conversations that God has been speaking. The third of May, the cloak of God in the sky.
Solo estoy mencionando las conversaciones principales como la del 3 de mayo sobre el reloj de Dios en el cielo.
When he finally lowered down the cloak of the Lord, the cloak that is 1 minute to midnight, 11:59 p.m.
Cuando él finalmente bajó el reloj de Dios del cielo, eran las 11:59, faltaba un minuto para la medianoche.
And then finally, November 20th, the year 2007, when he showed me the house of the Lord.
Y finalmente, el 20 de noviembre de 2007, cuando él me mostró la casa del Señor, la iglesia.
The dome, the golden dome, in that vision.
La cúpula o bóveda dorada en esa visión.
And then the scaffold metal and the roof of the church.
Y luego la tarima de metal y el techo de la iglesia.
But the dome was sitting on top of the church.
La bóveda estaba encima de la iglesia.
And then the glory of the Lord came from heaven.
Y entonces la gloria del Señor bajó del cielo.
And settled on the dome, but did not enter the church.
Y se colocó en la cúpula, pero no entró en la iglesia.
And then the voice of the Lord brought me very close, face to face with the door to the house of the Lord, which was closed.
Y la voz del Señor me llevó muy cerca, cara a cara, con la puerta de la casa del Señor, que estaba cerrada.
And the voice of the Lord said, let us enter into the house of the Lord, and the doors opened, the double arch door opened.
La voz del Señor dijo, entremos a la casa del Señor. Y la doble puerta en forma de arco se abrió.
And when I entered there, I saw a lot of, almost multi-millions of chairs. I could not see where they ended. They were black.
Y cuando entré ahí, vi multimillones de sillas. No veía dónde terminaban y eran negras.
And then grass began to grow in the church. And the voice of the Lord said, they used to worship here, but not anymore.
Y el pasto empezó a crecer en la iglesia, y la voz del Señor me dijo, solían adorar en este lugar, pero ya no.
After that, April 8th, when finally he interpreted that vision.
Y después de eso, el 8 de abril, cuando finalmente él interpretó esa visión.
But in between, March 26th, 2008, before April 8th.
Pero a mitad de ese tiempo, el 26 de marzo de 2008, antes del 8 de mayo,
he now shows me the temple of the Lord in heaven.
Él ahora me muestra el templo del Señor en el cielo.
The temple of God Almighty in heaven.
El templo en el cielo del Dios Todopoderoso.
So, how does that relate to the door to rapture?
¿Cómo se relaciona esto a la puerta del rapto?
Hallelujah. Listen to me, precious people. When the Lord engaged the church in all these conversations.
Aleluya. Escuchen, precioso pueblo. Cuando el Señor llamó a la iglesia a entrar en todas estas conversaciones.
There is one very important thing.
Hay algo muy importante.
That remained common. You can call it a common denominator.
Que permaneció común, se le puede llamar un denominador común.
In all these conversations. And that is.
En cada una de estas conversaciones. Y es esto.
In every visitation, in every single vision, the Lord was speaking to me about these issues.
En cada una de estas conversaciones, en cada una de estas visiones en las cuales el Señor me estaba hablando sobre estos asuntos.
It began by heaven open.
Todo empezó con la apertura del cielo.
The door to heaven opened into the sky before the rings were brought down.
Las puertas del cielo se abrieron antes de que bajaron los anillos.
Into the sky, heaven opened. Before the cloak was lowered, heaven opened. Before the glory came and settled on the dome, heaven opened. Before the temple of God was unveiled, heaven opened.
Antes de que se bajara el reloj, el cielo se abrió. Antes de que la gloria reposara sobre la puerta de la iglesia, el cielo se abrió. Antes de que el templo de Dios en el cielo fue revelado, también el cielo se abrió.
And so, the Lord has been using that to speak to the church. He has been telling the church, how come you can't see that I have opened the door?
Entonces el Señor ha estado usando esto para hablarle a la iglesia. Él les está preguntando, ¿por qué es que no puedes ver que yo he abierto la puerta?
The door is open. And when the door is open, that means he's telling the church to get herself ready and enter.
La puerta está abierta, y eso quiere decir que si la puerta está abierta, el Señor le está diciendo a la iglesia que se prepare y que entre.
You cannot wait. You will not be able to wait for the day of the rapture.
Tú no puedes esperar. No vas a poder esperar para el día del rapto.
Because on that day, essentially, he closes the door.
Porque ese día él esencialmente cierra la puerta.
The door will be closed. That is the most important thing you need to understand.
La puerta estará cerrada. Eso es lo más importante que tienes que entender.
If you are waiting for the rapture, you will miss the rapture.
Si tú estás esperando el rapto, vas a perder la entrada al rapto.
Don't wait for rapture.
No esperes hasta que llegue el rapto.
Make sure you get yourself ready and enter.
Asegúrate de prepararte y entra.
Look at the five wise virgins. They lit their lamps here, and when the door was open, they entered with the same lamps in.
Observa las cinco vírgenes sensatas. Ellas encendieron sus lámparas aquí, y cuando la puerta se abrió, entraron con las mismas lámparas.
And so God is talking about the need for the church to trim their lamps and get ready and enter through that door.
Así que Dios está hablando sobre la necesidad de la iglesia prepararse, arreglar sus lámparas y entrar por esa puerta.
But listen to this. I want to start somewhere. The book of Matthew. Matthew 24. And I want to go a little bit deeper. Because we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. But we understand the message. The message says time is out.
Entendamos algo en Mateo 24. Yo quiero ir un poco más profundo. Porque aunque nadie sabe el día ni la hora, podemos entender el mensaje que nos dice, el tiempo se acabó.
So, Matthew 24, I want to read only a few verses. We can begin from verse 4 up to verse 9.
Vayamos al capítulo 24 en Mateo y leamos solo algunos versículos, empezando con el versículo 4 al 9 primero.
And this is what it says. He says, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places."
Respondió Jesús y les dijo, "Mira, que nadie los engañe, porque muchos vendrán en mi nombre diciendo, 'Yo soy el Cristo,' y engañarán a muchos. Oirán de guerras y de rumores de guerras. Miren que nadie los turbe, porque es necesario que esto acontezca, pero todavía no es el fin.
porque se levantarán nación contra nación y reino contra reino. Habrá hambre y terremotos por todas las partes.
Verse 8, you have to pay special attention to that. It says, all these are the beginning of birth pain.
Pongan mucha atención al versículo 8, que dice, pues todas estas cosas son principio de dolores.
Do you hear me, somebody?
Alguien escuche.
Remember from Indonesia, that was August, we were there August 5th all the way, and the Lord started speaking about the famine coming to the earth. And they started talking about global famine that is coming to the earth.
Recuerda que el 5 de agosto yo estuve en Indonesia y desde ahí el Señor empezó a hablar sobre la hambruna que vendría a toda la tierra globalmente.
Look at where we're sitting today. Global famine has entered the globe, the earth. Food shortage.
Y mira dónde estamos sentados ahora. La hambruna ha entrado globalmente por toda la tierra.
The earthquakes. And then the floods. These are the beginning of birth pains. Verse 8.
Los terremotos, las inundaciones. Esto es el principio de los dolores de parto. Versículo 8.
And you can sense, you can look there and see the urgency with which God is operating right now.
Y puedes entrar ahí, ver y sentir la gran urgencia con la cual Dios está operando ahora.
He's operating very urgently. It means his time frame is limited.
Él está operando con mucha urgencia. Eso significa que el tiempo para todo esto está muy limitado.
But as he talks about the beginning of birth pain, the war coming to Iran, I was talking about that war in Tanzania actually, in Mbeya. Mbeya in October 2005, that's the first time the Lord spoke with me about the two missiles coming to hit the nuclear facility in Iran.
Mientras tanto el Señor me habla sobre los dolores de parto, el principio de dolores de parto, la guerra en Irán. Fue en Tanzania, octubre 2005, que el Señor me habló por primera vez sobre esa guerra y sobre los misiles que van a pegarle a la planta nuclear en Irán.
Now look at that. The earth is sitting very close to that war. And that war coming to Iran will take place.
Fíjate, esa guerra está muy cerca de la tierra. Esa guerra que viene a Irán va a tomar lugar.
Dice, these are the beginning of birth pains. Because his disciples had asked him, Lord, when will the end come? How will we know that the end is coming?
Ese es el principio de los dolores de parto. Sus discípulos le preguntaron, Señor, ¿cuándo vendrá el final? ¿Cómo sabremos cuando llega el final?
How will you know that your return is near? And he mentioned these things and said, these are the beginning of birth pains.
¿Cómo podemos reconocer tu regreso? Y él les dijo todas estas cosas. Y este es el principio de los dolores de parto.
Remember the beginning of birth pains. And then verse 9, he says, Matthew 24 verse 9, he says, after the beginning of that thing, it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death.
Recuerden que en el capítulo 24 de Mateo, versículo 8, dice que ese es el principio de los dolores. Y al siguiente, en el versículo 9, dice, entonces los entregarán a tribulación y los matarán y serán aborrecidos por todas las naciones por causa de mi nombre.
How do you jump from the beginning of birth pains and then now he's talking about then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death?
¿Cómo es posible primero estar hablando del principio de dolores y después brincar a ser perseguido, entregado y asesinado?
That means between verse 8 of Matthew 24 and verse 9 of Matthew 24 is hidden rapture.
Eso significa que entre Mateo 24, versículo 8, y Mateo 24, versículo 9, está escondido el rapto.
That is what is hidden there. Again, between Matthew 24, verse 8, the beginning of birth pains, And then finally, we have just thrown them into the bath pen. Something has happened there. The bath pen is the tribulation.
Esto es lo que está escondido ahí. Nuevamente, en Mateo 24, entre versículo 8, donde habla del principio de dolores, entra a los dolores de parto. Algo pasó ahí entre versículo 8 y versículo 9. Los dolores de parto son la tribulación.
And that's why when you look back at Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, he said, "Behold, I come like a thief, secretive. And blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with himself, that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed."
Por eso es que cuando vemos Apocalipsis 16, versículo 15, ahí dice, "He aquí, yo vengo como ladrón." Él viene en secreto como un ladrón. Bienaventurado el que vela y guarda sus vestidos para que no ande desnudo y vean su vergüenza.
There is something secret about his coming and the rapture. And that is the door to the rapture.
Hay algo muy secreto sobre su venida en el rapto, y esto es la puerta del rapto.
And he says here that many will come and claim I am the Christ, deceived.
Él dice aquí que muchos vendrán en mi nombre diciendo yo soy el Cristo, engañarán.
And then he goes down there and says, be careful, make sure you are not deceived. Which means deception would be one of the greatest spiritual landmarks of the time.
Él les dice que tengan cuidado de no ser engañados, que significa que el engaño es una de las características que marca esta época.
There will be a lot of deception. And where? In the church. Deception will enter the church. That is the message, really, that is there.
Habría mucho engaño. ¿Y a dónde? En la iglesia. El engaño entraría en la iglesia. Este en realidad es el mensaje que él está tratando de decir.
That's what he's trying to emphasize. He said, there will be a lot of lies in the church. Many will come and say, I'm the Christ.
Esto es lo que él estaba tratando de enfatizar. Habrían muchas mentiras en la iglesia. Muchos vendrían y dirían, yo soy el Cristo.
And then he says, make sure you are not deceived. He was raising a red flag. One of the key landmarks would be the great deception that will enter the church.
Entonces él les dijo, asegúrense de que nadie los engañe. Estaba dando una gran advertencia. Una de las características claves entonces sería el engaño que entra a la iglesia.
In other words, the Lord is talking about apostasy, the falling away from true faith. And that means there will be a big wave of false prophets that would enter the church.
En otras palabras, el Señor está hablando de la apostasía, la caída de la verdadera fe y la gran cantidad de falsos profetas que entrarían a la iglesia.
And how will you know that they are false prophets? We've said very openly that there is no way someone is going to say he's a prophet of God, called of the Lord God, and tell you, look, I came from the Samuel school of prophets. I was there for 5 years, now I'm a prophet.
¿Y cómo podemos saber que son falsos profetas? Aquí lo hemos dicho abiertamente. No hay manera, persona, que sea profeta, llamada por Dios, te pueda decir a ti, yo soy de la escuela de profetas de Samuel. Me gradué hace 5 años y ahora soy profeta.
Isn't that blasphemy?
¿Acaso no es eso blasfemia?
I came from the Elisha School of Prophets in America. They taught me to speak certain words, thus saith the Lord.
Yo vengo de la escuela de profetas Eliseo de América, y ahí me enseñaron a decir varias cosas, como, así dice Jehová.
You see the big deception that entered the church. It entered the priesthood first.
¿Puedes ver el gran engaño que entró a la iglesia y entró al sacerdocio primero?
Only the Lord God himself calls his prophets. Hallelujah.
Solo el Señor Dios mismo es el que llama a sus profetas. Aleluya.
And he calls them to serve Christ. And now you know that there is no way someone will come and say he's a prophet, except that he comes and rebukes sin.
Y los llama para servirle a Cristo. Ahora sabemos que no puede venir cualquiera a decirte que es profeta, a no ser de que venga a reprender el pecado.
There is no way he can be comfortable with sin if God speaks with him. You understand?
Si es que Dios le habla, él no puede estar cómodo con el pecado. ¿Entienden?
At first I asked the Lord, why are you only showing me only bad things in the church? I think later I understood. That is what he was sending me to address.
Al principio yo le preguntaba al Señor, ¿por qué siempre me enseña solo lo malo en la iglesia? Más tarde entendí que eso es lo que él quería que yo hablara.
There is no way God is going to be comfortable with sin. Every time he sends forth a word, he has seen something that needs correction.
De ninguna manera va a estar Dios cómodo con el pecado. Cada vez que él manda alguna palabra, es porque ha visto algo que necesita ser corregido.
There is no way God is going to send a servant who is going to build his own kingdom to lead people to himself.
Dios jamás mandaría a un siervo a construir un reino para sí mismo y llevar a personas a sí mismo. Jamás.
Every day in, day out, he's always going to point at the coming Messiah.
Todos los días y cada día, él va a señalar siempre al Mesías venidero.
The Lord says, make sure you're not deceived.
El Señor dice, asegúrate de que no te engañen.
Only this truth can ensure that they are not deceived.
Solo de esta manera pueden demostrar que no han sido engañados.
There is no way God is ever going to send a prophet that is not going to champion the holiness of the Lord in the church.
De ninguna manera Dios va a mandar a un profeta que no defienda la santidad de Dios en la iglesia.
That is common knowledge.
Esto es conocimiento común.
Because the prophet is going to be the mirror image, the messenger of God.
Porque el profeta tiene que ser a la imagen de Dios. Es el mensajero de Dios.
And God is holy. He's separated from sin.
Y Dios es santo. Él está separado del pecado.
They have come as prophets. They have slept with women in hotel rooms.
Ellos han venido como profetas y se han acostado con mujeres en hoteles.
The women came to me for prayers. And the pastor took me to serve him in the hotel room.
La mujer acudió al pastor para que él orara por ella. Y él la llevó a la recámara de un hotel para que lo sirviera ahí.
They come to preach. Then he's preaching about his shoes.
Y después llega a predicar y predica sobre sus zapatos.
Do you know how expensive my shoes are? Do you know where I bought these shoes from? In America.
Y entonces pregunta, ¿sabes dónde conseguí estos zapatos? Y también dónde conseguí este vestido entero? En América.
Look at my wife. Do you know how much it cost me per month to keep that hair?
Y mira a mi esposa, mírale el peinado. ¿Sabes cuánto me cuesta a mí mensualmente para mantenerlo?
The truth will have to set the church free right now.
La verdad va a tener que liberar a la iglesia ahora mismo.
Let me tell you, this is the moment of truth.
Este es el momento de la verdad.
My Bible is written in red. These are the words of Christ, the boss, Christ the King, the honorable Lord.
En mi Biblia está escrito en rojo. Esas son las palabras del jefe, Cristo el Rey, el Señor y el Dueño.
He says, make sure you're not deceived.
Él dice, asegúrate que no seas engañado.
But in between verse 8 and 9 of Matthew 24 is hidden the rapture.
Pero escondido entre los versículos 8 y 9 del capítulo 24 de Mateo está
el arrebatamiento de la iglesia.
Because that means the vast pain you are seeing, the floods you are seeing.
Porque eso significa que los dolores de parto que estás viendo, por ejemplo, las inundaciones que estás viendo,
the earthquakes you are seeing,
los terremotos que estás viendo,
the famine, the global famine that you are seeing,
la hambruna global que también estás viendo,
these are the beginnings of vast pain.
Estos son el principio del dolor.
And look at the way he's increasing it. After a prophesy, it happens quickly, and then tomorrow night he comes, say again another one, say to them another one.
Y puedes observar cómo está aumentando Dios todo. Ocurre una profecía hoy, y rápido dice él, mañana, dales otra, dales otra.
There is a sense of urgency here. That's the first thing you pick from there.
Hay un sentido de urgencia aquí. Eso es lo primero que sacas de ahí.
You begin to understand that God has shifted gears, moving faster. But I'm so surprised the nations are not aware.
Empiezas a entender que Dios ha cambiado de marchas, se está moviendo más rápido. Lo que me sorprende a mí es que las naciones no se han dado cuenta.
Listen to me, precious people. It is so important that you highlight this to the church.
Escucha, pueblo precioso. Es muy importante que esto se le sea ilustrado a la iglesia.
Let them not watch it as another news item.
Que ellos no lo lean solo como un artículo en las noticias.
Oh, Mississippi River has exploded again.
Oh, el río Mississippi se ha vuelto a inundar.
Oh, the earthquake in Greece again.
Ah, el terremoto en Grecia de nuevo.
Oh, now again war in Kenya.
Y nuevamente la guerra en Kenia.
Oh, now famine has come.
Ay, también ha llegado una hambruna.
Let me tell you.
Permíteme decirte.
In a twinkling of an eye.
En solo un abrir y cerrar de ojos.
In a flash.
En solo un instante.
The rapture will take place.
El arrebatamiento tomará lugar.
Because he jumped from there and said, and you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. That is the tribulation.
Porque él brinca de ahí y dice, serás entregado, perseguido, asesinado. Esa es la tribulación.
Isaiah chapter 26, I'm reading verses 19 to 21. He says,
Isaías capítulo 26, versículos 19 al 21. Y dice así,
but your dead will live, their bodies will rise, you who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy.
Pero tus muertos vivirán, sus cadáveres volverán a la vida. Despierten y griten de alegría, moradores del polvo.
In the dust, because they are asleep.
En el polvo, que significa que están durmiendo.
When Lazarus died, and they told him, Lord, but he has died. It's 4 days. That place is stinking now, smelling.
Cuando Lázaro murió, le dijeron, ese lugar ya está apestando mucho. Ya son 4 días desde que se murió.
He said, no, he is not dead. He is asleep.
Él les dijo, no, él no está muerto, está dormido.
So those who are under the dust of the earth,
así que los que están debajo del polvo de la tierra,
according to the Lord, they are not dead.
De acuerdo al Señor, ellos no están muertos.
They are asleep, because all of them must be woken up.
Están dormidos, todos tienen que ser despertados.
But your dead will live, their bodies will rise, you who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Why should they shout for joy?
Pero tus muertos vivirán, sus cadáveres volverán a la vida, despierten y griten de alegría, moradores del polvo. ¿Por qué razón tendrían que gritar de alegría?
He says, your dew is like the dew of the morning, the earth will give birth to her dead.
Porque tu rocío es como el rocío de la mañana y la tierra devolverá sus muertos.
And he says, go, comma, my people, comma, enter your rooms. I don't know which version you're reading, but I'm reading from NIV.
No sé de qué versión están leyendo ustedes. Yo estoy leyendo de la nueva versión internacional que dice, anda, comma, pueblo mío, comma, entra en tus habitaciones.
NIV says, go, comma, my people, comma, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. I'm talking about the death rapture.
La nueva versión internacional dice, anda, coma, pueblo mío, coma, entra en tus habitaciones y cierra tus puertas tras de ti. Yo estoy hablando del rapto, las puertas del rapto o del arrebatamiento.
And it says, hide yourself for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the blood shed upon her, and she will conceal her slain no longer. I want to end there.
Él dice, escóndanse por un momento hasta que pase la ira. Estén alerta, que el Señor va a salir de su morada para castigar la maldad de los habitantes del país. La tierra pondrá al descubierto la sangre derramada y no ocultará a los masacrados en ella más. Quiero terminar ahí.
How does this relate to the death rapture?
¿Cómo se relaciona esto a la puerta del rapto o del arrebatamiento?
When the Lord showed this vision of the rapture to Isaiah, it is amazing here that the Lord showed him the elect, the remnant church.
Es muy sorprendente ver que cuando el Señor le mostró a Isaías esta visión del rapto o del arrebatamiento, le mostró a los elegidos, a la iglesia remanente.
That was going to be taken away through the door to rapture and the door to cross. Hallelujah.
La que sería llevada por medio de esa puerta del rapto. Y después que entrara, la puerta se cerraría. Aleluya.
And then, after that, the wrath of God would consume the four ends of the earth. That is the tribulation.
Después de esto, la ira de Dios consumiría los cuatro confines de la tierra. Esto es la tribulación.
And he says, you who are asleep in the dust of the earth, wake up!
Y él dice, ustedes que están durmiendo debajo del polvo de la tierra, despierten.
Levántate, in Spanish. Wake up!
En español se dice, levántate.
And shout for joy. Why?
Y griten de alegría. ¿Por qué gritar de alegría?
Because your dew has arrived.
Porque tu rocío ha llegado.
At first, when the Lord spoke with me about the door to rapture,
al principio, cuando el Señor me habló por primera vez sobre la puerta del rapto,
and he navigated me this scripture, I didn't understand.
Y me llevó a esta escritura, y yo no entendía.
Because I was looking at all the doors he has opened,
porque yo he estado viendo todas las puertas que él ha abierto.
When the rings were being lowered in the sky, he opened the door and the glory came out.
Cuando los anillos estaban siendo bajados del cielo, él abrió la puerta y la gloria salió.
When the clock was being lowered, he opened the door and the glory came out, then the clock.
Cuando el reloj fue bajado del cielo, también se abrió la puerta, salió la gloria y después el reloj bajó.
The temple of God opened the door, glory came out, and then I saw the temple.
El templo de Dios se abrió la puerta, salió la gloria y después vi el templo de Dios.
Every time he opens the door to heaven,
cada vez que él abre la puerta del cielo,
the glory comes out first.
Gloria sale primero.
That's why Isaiah said the same thing. He said, shout, wake up and shout, for your morning dew has come. That is the latter anointing of God.
Isaías vio lo mismo, por eso dijo, levántense y griten de alegría, porque su rocío de la mañana ha llegado. Esa es la unción tardía de Dios.
Aleluya. That is the Holy Spirit that comes in the latter anointing to purge the church, to purify the church, to cleanse sin from the church, because only the holy ones will enter.
Aleluya. Este es el Espíritu Santo que viene con la unción tardía, viene a purgarla a la iglesia, viene a purificar a la iglesia, viene a limpiarla de todo pecado, ya que solo los santos entrarán.
Only the radiant church, the glorious church will enter, by the way.
Únicamente la iglesia gloriosa, la iglesia radiante, es la que va a entrar.
Only the church that is now righteous. By the way, he also says she must be mature, having grown to full stature, telos in Greek.
Solo la iglesia justa. Por cierto, ella debe ser madura, debe haber crecido en estatura. A esto en el griego se le llama un pilar.
Having grown to full maturity. That means she has grown in the faith.
Habiendo llegado a su plena madurez, que significa haber crecido en la fe.
By the way, it is the holiness of the Lord that matures the church.
De hecho, es la santidad del Señor la que madura a la iglesia.
Don't think you mature by the number of years you spend in church.
No creas que tu madurez depende de los años que has pasado en una iglesia.
Don't think you mature in the amount of the number of churches or the number of people you have led to the Lord. Hallelujah.
No creas que eres maduro por el número de iglesias o número de personas que has llevado al Señor. Aleluya.
Today I have led 20 people, tomorrow I have led 30 people, so I'm really maturing. You are not maturing if you are not very careful.
Ayer llevé a 20 personas al Señor, mañana llevaré a 30. Yo creo que estoy madurando tanto. No vas a estar madurando si no tienes cuidado.
It is the holiness of God, because the full stature he talks about is the reason the two wedding rings were very identical in that vision.
Es la santidad de Dios, porque la plena estatura de la cual se habla aquí es la razón por la cual los anillos de boda en esta visión son tan idénticos.
Very similar. How can Jesus wear the same wedding ring like the church?
Extremamente similares. ¿Cómo es posible que Jesucristo pueda usar los mismos anillos que usa la iglesia?
That means the church has to measure up to the stature of Christ.
Esto significa que la iglesia tiene que llegar a la misma medida que Cristo.
The identity of Christ.
La identidad de Cristo.
To the maturity of Christ, to the holiness of Christ. That's why the Bible says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do.
A la madurez de Cristo, a la santidad de Cristo. Por eso la Biblia nos dice que así como el que nos llamó es santo, que seamos santo en todo lo que hacemos.
The Bible also says, until you attain the holiness and the righteousness of God. Hallelujah.
La Biblia también dice hasta que obtengamos la santidad y la justicia de Dios. Aleluya.
So when you see the glory of the Lord coming down in Kenya,
así que cuando tú ves la gloria del Señor bajar en Kenya,
the rain began from Kakamega,
la lluvia empezó a caer desde Kakamega,
and it started raining. And a lot of rain of the Holy Spirit started coming down.
Y empezó a llover, y mucha lluvia del Espíritu Santo empezó a bajar.
And the Lord spoke the release of the four glorious horses from here.
Y desde aquí el Señor habló sobre el lanzamiento de los cuatro gloriosos caballos.
Which I have now revealed. Finally allowed me to reveal the meaning of that. Talking about the four glorious gospels that are in the Bible.
Que les estoy revelando aquí. Finalmente me ha permitido revelarle el significado de esto. Me refiero a los cuatro evangelios gloriosos que están en la Biblia.
Telling the pastor that as you preach the Bible, anchor yourself on the four glorious gospels as you preach the entire Bible. Anchor yourself.
Le digo, pastores, cuando ustedes tomen su Biblia, su ancla tiene que ser los cuatro gloriosos evangelios. Sujétense a esos gloriosos evangelios.
Which means root your foundation on the four glorious gospels. And the word that cometh forth from your mouth will reach the four ends of the earth.
Esto significa que la raíz de tu fundación debe estar en los cuatro gloriosos evangelios. Y entonces la palabra que salga de tu boca llegará a los confines de la tierra.
And you clean up the church. Don't teach from other books.
y así limpiarás la iglesia. No enseñes de otros libros.
The church has been teaching on other books.
La iglesia ha estado enseñando de otros libros.
The anointing for financial wealth. How to manage financial resources as a Christian.
La unción para riquezas financieras o cómo debe un cristiano manejar sus recursos financieros.
How to live healthy as a Christian.
¿O cómo puede vivir un cristiano una vida saludable?
The church has been teaching the gospel of the flesh, the world, earthly gospel, outer court. You know, there was the outer court and the inner court.
La iglesia estaba enseñando un evangelio de la carne, del mundo, un evangelio terrenal, un evangelio del atrio exterior. ¿Sabías tú que existe un atrio interior y un exterior?
In the outer court, there's a lot of rumors. They don't hear directly from God.
En el atrio exterior hay muchos rumores. No oyen directamente de Dios.
And yet the curtain ruptured, and the Lord allowed us unwarranted, unlimited access into the Holy of Holies.
Y el velo o la cortina se rasgó. Entonces el Señor nos permitió acceso sin límite al lugar santísimo.
Aleluya. And so Jehovah is saying that this door that he showed Isaiah.
Aleluya. Entonces Jehová está diciendo que esta puerta que le mostró a Isaías.
Isaiah saw when the elect were rushing into this door and the shutting of the door for the wrath of God to pass.
Isaías vio a los elegidos correr y entrar por esa puerta. Vio el cerrar de la puerta hasta que pasara la ira del Señor.
This is the door to the rapture.
Esta es la puerta del arrebatamiento.
If you will catch this, you will see the wedding of the Lamb of God.
Si captas esto, verás las bodas del Cordero de Dios.
There is no way you can be preaching repentance, preaching you are in the ministry of repentance, and then you miss the rapture.
¿De qué sirve que prediques el arrepentimiento, que prediques que estás en el ministerio de arrepentimiento y después te pierdas el rapto?
The rapture will not come as a church. We are going as a church.
El arrebatamiento no vendrá como iglesia, que nos vamos como iglesia.
Paul says, let us be careful, lest we preach this thing and we ourselves miss out on this thing. And it will be a shame.
Pablo dice que tengamos cuidado. Los que predicamos esto, que no lo perdamos. Sería muy triste.
So it's very important to understand that this dew that comes is the latter anointing.
Es muy importante que entiendas que este rocío que viene con esta unción tardía.
Let me tell you, at first, as the Lord was ministering to me on this.
Déjame decirte, al principio, mientras que el Señor me ministraba sobre esto.
I thought the morning dew was different from the midnight dew.
Yo pensé que el rocío de la mañana era diferente al rocío de la medianoche.
Because when the clock he showed me is 11:59 p.m.
Porque el reloj que me mostró decía 11:59 p.m.
I thought this latter anointing is going to be different from the morning dew because Isaiah is saying the morning dew.
Yo pensé que esa unción tardía era diferente porque Isaías la llamó el rocío de la mañana.
That takes them like this. It is one and the same thing. Because when it strikes midnight, the morning has come. Amen. And the church has been taken.
Pero son una y la misma. Es la misma cosa. Porque a la medianoche ya es la mañana y la iglesia ha sido llevada.
So that is the glory, the Holy Spirit you see flowing in the church today. I mean, I'm talking about in Kenya. We have to bring it to other countries also.
Así que esta es la gloria, el Espíritu Santo que tú ves fluyendo hoy en la iglesia. Estoy hablando de Kenia, pero también tenemos que llevarlo a otras naciones.
The latter glory heals the church, delivers the church.
Esta gloria tardía sana y libera a la iglesia.
There is no more rumors and lies about healing and deliverance.
Entonces ya no quedan ni rumores ni mentiras sobre la sanidad y liberación en la iglesia.
He says, eyes have not seen.
Él nos dice que ojos no han visto.
Ears have not heard.
ni oídos han escuchado.
And he will anoint you.
Y él te va a ungir.
But that is the morning dew.
Pero ese es el rocío de la mañana.
Don't use it for showbiz, Hollywood.
No lo uses para negocio de Hollywood o farándula.
He will take it away from you.
Porque si no, él te lo quitará.
Don't use it, oh, look at how we are anointed these days.
No lo uses para decir, mira, qué ungidos estamos en estos días.
Use it to prepare the church to purify the wedding gown.
Úsalo para preparar a la iglesia a purificar su vestido de novia.
So the church may be found without spot, without stain, without blemish.
Para que la iglesia pueda ser encontrada sin mancha, sin marca y sin ninguna impureza.
Without any single painting on the gown, without anything detestable, without any defilement.
Sin ninguna cosa detestable en el vestido, sin ninguna clase de contaminación.
Let the gown be pure, holy, radiant, righteous. Let it be worthy of the calling as the royal bride.
Permite que el vestido sea puro, santo, radiante, justo, y deja que sea digno del llamado a novia real.
Royal bride, into the king's house. You've been called as a bride into the king's house.
Novia real, con entrada a la casa del rey. Has sido llamada novia real para entrar a la casa del rey.
It's not just a regular, you know, wedding.
Sabes que no es cualquier boda común y corriente.
And it's a spiritual wedding.
Y es una boda espiritual.
That's why he said no. You cannot be preaching the love anointing when people are still demon possessed here.
No, no puedes predicar la unción tardía cuando todavía hay gente poseída por demonios aquí.
That would be a lie. They would have to be delivered. They would have to be healed.
Eso sería una mentira. Primero tendrían que ser liberados. Tendrían que ser sanados.
The morning dew comes for the express purpose of preparing the church to enter through this door.
El rocío de la mañana viene con el propósito específico para preparar a la iglesia a entrar por esa puerta.
And when you enter through this door, it closes.
Y cuando tú entras por esta puerta, entonces se cierra.
Let me share a little bit here.
Permitan que yo comparta un poquito con ustedes.
Finally, when John the Baptist stood here,
finalmente, cuando Juan el Bautista se paró aquí,
and then the mountain glory of the Lord was in front here,
y la montaña de gloria del Señor se paró aquí enfrente,
and John the Baptist was beginning talking about the coming of the Lamb of God that was going to come for the church,
y Juan el Bautista me empezó a hablar sobre el Cordero de Dios que venía por la iglesia,
the first thing I realized is that his raiment became glorious.
Lo primero que me llamó la atención fue su vestimenta, que se hizo gloriosa.
So glorious that you cannot even wash in any laundry on earth.
Tan gloriosa que no podrías lavarla en ninguna lavandería de esta tierra.
No soap on earth can purify that white.
Ningún jabón en la tierra podría purificar algo y dejarlo tan blanco.
Beaming like lightning.
Brillando como un rayo.
Aleluya. And when I looked at myself, my raiment had become glorious too.
Aleluya. Y cuando me miré a mí mismo, vi que mi vestimenta también se había hecho gloriosa.
My countenance, my features had changed.
Mi rostro, mis facciones habían cambiado.
And I was shocked.
Y yo estaba choqueado.
It's time for the church to mature now.
Es hora de que la iglesia madure.
But after that, it was tremendously amazing to me.
Pero después de eso fue tremendamente sorprendente para mí.
That the glory that came before the Lamb was released.
Que la gloria que vino antes de que el Cordero fuera soltado.
From the mighty glory where the Father was.
Desde la poderosa gloria donde el Padre está.
Before finally the Lamb came.
Antes de que finalmente el Cordero vino,
the glory that came out turned my clothes to be radiant and his.
La gloria que salió convirtió a mi vestimenta tan gloriosa como la de él.
Yo estaba tan sorprendido.
There was no single spot you could hide.
No había ni un paso que se podía esconder.
Not knowing that that is what Isaiah saw.
Sabiendo que esto es lo que Isaías vio.
Isaiah said, verse 22, and he says down there, the earth will disclose the blood shed on her.
Isaías dijo en el verso 22 que la tierra iba a exponer toda la sangre que fue derramada sobre ella.
And she will no longer hide her slain.
Y que ella ya no ocultaría los masacrados sobre ella.
Which means you will never hide anything again.
Lo cual significa que ella nunca jamás volverá a esconder algo.
When that glory comes,
cuando esa gloria viene,
no sin can be hidden again.
Ningún pecado puede volver a ser escondido.
Don't use it for running around.
No lo uses para estar corriendo atrás del pecado.
It is for revealing the sin in the church.
Es para revelar el pecado en la iglesia.
Purge it off, cleanse the church, prepare the church.
Purga la iglesia del pecado y prepárala.
It is not for, oh, the glory has come.
No es para decir, oh, la gloria ha llegado.
We like meetings when you go, the Holy Spirit comes and slays thousands of people. Cripples walk, what people are healed, what we love. Don't do that.
Nos gusta este tipo de reunión, ese tipo de conferencia del Espíritu Santo donde hay millones de personas y queremos ver cuántos se sanan, cuántos inválidos caminan. Y nos encanta todo esto. No hagas eso.
That is the gospel of the flesh you see the evangelists are doing all over the world.
Este es el evangelio de la carne que los evangelistas por todo el mundo están predicando.
That glory is for connecting the church to the kingdom of God.
Esa gloria es para encomendar a la iglesia al reino de Dios.
All these works he will do, but for the one and single purpose of preparing the church.
Todo ese trabajo lo haremos, pero con el único propósito de preparar a la iglesia.
For the kingdom of God.
Para el reino de Dios.
And how do you prepare?
¿Y cómo nos preparamos?
When that comes, it unearths sin.
Cuando esa gloria viene, desentierra el pecado.
You understand? Isaiah said, no more will the earth hide the blood shed upon her.
Isaías dijo que la tierra no escondería más la sangre derramada sobre ella.
Which means the evil that you ever did to the remnant church.
Lo cual significa que cualquier maldad que tú le has hecho a la iglesia remanente en cualquier momento,
the evil that was ever done to those who have chosen holiness will be exposed.
La maldad que se le ha hecho a cualquiera que ha escogido la santidad será expuesta.
And he also says, even her slain will not be hidden, they'll be disclosed. She cannot hide anymore, any longer.
Incluso dice él que ella ya no podrá esconder a los masacrados, serán expuestos.
That also talks about God will hold the earth to judgment from the day of rapture.
Esto también habla de que Dios traerá justicia a la tierra en el día del rapto.
Because the day of rapture, he divides the earth into two populations.
Porque el día del rapto, él divide la tierra en dos poblaciones.
The raptured and the remained.
Los que fueron arrebatados y los que se quedaron.
And if you remain, he says, it will be so difficult. You cannot even preach Christ.
Y si te quedas, dice él, va a ser tan difícil. No vas a poder ni siquiera predicar a Cristo.
I have seen the earth after the rapture. And the Lord says, when you try to preach Christ, you will be beheaded.
Yo he visto la tierra después del rapto, y el Señor dice que si tratas de predicar a Cristo, serás decapitado.
And if you refuse to wear his mark, God says he himself will send a spirit to confuse you to believe him. That means you want to enter the rapture. You want to make sure you're in the rapture. Don't fool around the rapture.
Y si te niegas a tomar la marca de la bestia, el mismo Dios dice que él te mandará un espíritu de confusión para que le creas y la tomes. Esto significa que tú tienes que querer entrar al rap, que asegurar de entrar. No puedes jugar con esto.
That's why I wonder, why are the evangelists on earth not preaching the rapture?
Por esto yo me pregunto, ¿por qué será que los evangelistas de la tierra no están predicando el arrebatamiento?
Why are they not preaching? Why are they not preparing the church? Because this is the most important message they should use to prepare the church.
¿Por qué no están predicando esto? Este es el mensaje más importante que pueden usar para preparar a la iglesia.
The earth will never ever hide her sin as that glory comes.
Cuando esa gloria viene, la tierra nunca podrá a volver a esconder su pecado.
And that's what Isaiah saw. But let me tell you something interesting.
Eso fue lo que Isaías vio. Pero déjame decirte algo interesante.
Because down there, in verse 20, he says, go, comma, my people, comma.
Porque en el versículo 20 dice, ve, coma, mi gente, o mi pueblo, coma.
He's highlighting my people. My people.
Él está dando énfasis a mi pueblo. Mi pueblo.
That his people, for them, they should now go inside through this door and then close the door behind themselves. The rapture door that I'm talking about today.
Que su gente o su pueblo entren por esas puertas y cierren la puerta. Es el arrebatamiento o el rapto del que estaba hablando. Asegúrate entonces que la puerta se cierre contigo en la parte de adentro del cielo. Adentro del cielo. Aleluya.
So make sure that the rapture door closes you on the inside heaven part side. You are closed on the inside of heaven, that side of inside heaven. Aleluya.
Hallelujah. We are back live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and you've been listening to The Door to Rapture from the mighty prophet, Dr. David O'War, the Lord's bondservant, end-time messenger, to prepare the church for the coming of the Messiah to enter the rapture. That was The Door to Rapture. Special thanks to Pastor Mil de Mayo for doing the Spanish translation and the mixing as well. We thank the Lord for that. It is Sunday evening, 9:28 p.m. on July 27th, 2014, and we are live broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. As we heard, precious listeners, the door to rapture, the most important message to the church, for the earth will never be the same again. It will be changed irretrievably. This is the message to the church to enter now, just as in the days of Noah. Noah was preaching righteousness, and no one wanted to hear it. Noah was warning and admonishing, and no one entered the ark. Noah and his family entered the ark a few days prior to, and the Lord himself, the Lord, shut the door. And we know the consequences and what happened thereafter, and the destruction that fell everyone that was not prepared, that used dilatory tactics, delayed, procrastinated, tried to outwit the Lord. It didn't work out very well for them. And so it is today, as it was in the days of Noah, where the message of righteousness is being preached and few want to hear it. And the good news is, the Lord says, heaven is still open, and the church can enter the door of the rapture. The church can enter into the kingdom of God. After the rapture, we heard clearly, and the Bible teaches this very well, that there will be no opportunities here in the United States of America, for the word of the Lord will not go out. We see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Lord will send a strong delusion, a very strong delusion, and the church which does not enter will believe the lie. There will be deception that is beyond our comprehension. We see deception running wild now. And as we heard from the mighty prophet, we have schools of prophets, a.k.a. schools of blasphemy, for it is the Lord himself, who calls his servants the prophets. We see this in Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18, Amos 3, John chapter 1, Revelation 2 and 3, and the Lord goes on. He's very, very consistent, well established, and yet we have false prophets, false apostles, and false teachers and false preachers. But we actually do have many schools of prophets here in the United States. They're very proud of it. They do grant degrees and diplomas, certificates, and they're certificates of blasphemy. Only the Lord can call his servants the prophets. No man and no school can become self-appointed prophets. They are deceiving the church, deceiving others within the United States, and deceiving the globe. That's how critical it is to enter into the rapture, for deception will run absolutely wild. The dispensation of the Gentiles will be closed, and the word of the Lord will go to Israel, and Israel will become front and center yet again in the prophetic time clock of the Lord. Israel is not forgotten. Israel is the trembling cup to the world, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the Holy Land, the land of the Lord in Israel. We heard also that the day of rapture is also the day of judgment. And sure enough, once that door is closed, the judgment and delusion of deception will run wild. And time will have expired, and the opportunity will have expired for those that remain and do not enter. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives very, very good detail. More also in Revelation. We see also in Revelation 18. With us in the studio is Pastor Jose Bobadilla by phone from California Altar. He's calling in from Los Angeles, and also Pastor Raymond Raffel from the Maryland Altar, your co-host this evening's segment, Pastor Louis Bupo from the Maryland Altar. And Pastor Jose, a lot of material the mighty prophet was sharing, warning, admonishing, encouraging the church. Now is the time to enter. Now is the time to prepare. What has the Lord laid on your heart for this evening's segment, Pastor Jose?
Amen, Pastor Lou and Pastor Raymond and all the precious saints. Very, very powerful message and very powerful revelations we are receiving from the Lord, precious saints. As those who have the ears to hear, who have been given the ears to hear by the Lord, know that these are the revelations of the Lord, of his word, that the Holy Spirit is giving to his church, the oil and the wine church, to prepare her for the soon return of the Messiah. These are the messages that are preparing the bride. These are the warning signs, precious saints, that we must heed to. We were hearing righteousness is a necessity. The message of righteousness and holiness. And we can clearly see that in the world church, those have been thrown out. You don't hear holiness in the church in America anymore. What you do hear is the acceptance of homosexuality than the church. So the church has compromised with sin. And we are clearly seeing the signs, like Pastor Raymond mentioned earlier, about the Ebola virus and how severe it has become. The prophet of the Lord did share the message of the Lord earlier today. And that was one of the messages that he gave about the signs that we are seeing. The wars, Israel, the Arab world wars, these illnesses that are spreading, and he did mention Ebola. These are the times to polish and refine our salvation, precious saints. These are the days to evaluate our walk with the Lord. And if there is anything in our walk that is hindering us from walking on the highway of holiness, it must be taken care of immediately. It must be resolved. We must stand with the Lord firmly, as the door of the rapture will soon shut. We clearly know by the word of the Lord that nobody knows the day or the hour, time. I wanted to read from the book of Matthew 24.
Amen.
Matthew 24, verses 36 to 51. Precious saints. That's Matthew 24, verses 36 to 51. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? The master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Precious saints, these are the days of the warning from the Lord. These are the days of his mighty servant, Elijah. These are the days that we must prepare our garments, precious saints. These are the days where we must repent of all our sins and turn away from them and seek the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls, precious saints. It is time to surrender our lives to the Lord and prepare, because the Lord will soon return, and he will come like a snare to many, to most, as we can see that many are having fun times drinking in bars, playing sports, entertainment, into, I know, basketball here in Los Angeles. Everybody is into the Lakers and stuff like that. And those have become their idols. And they are unaware of the days we are living in, precious saints. And many, many, many will be found in complete darkness from 1 second to the next, precious saints. It will be a horrible, horrible time for many. We must prepare. And as long as the Lord tarries, we must continue to shout this message of warning to all the saints from nation to nation as long as the Lord allows. And we are here to warn the saints here in the United States of America and from any and all nations that the Lord has allowed them to tune in to this broadcast of the Lord's message to the nations. The nations must be warned, and they must repent. The sins of the nations have reached the throne of the Lord. We must repent, saints. We must heed to the warning. We must wake up from the slumber. We must run away from the church houses that preach prosperity, money, and better living in the world. We must surrender to the Lord and allow the Lord to build his house, his church, to build his temples, as the word is very clear that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to build his temples and to use his temples. We must be vessels of honor, precious saints, at this hour, and warn the people and warn the nations that time is over. Time is over. The Elijah that was promised in the word of the Lord is here. There is no doubt about that, precious saints. We are eyewitnesses of this magnificent revival. We have been allowed to partake and to see open heaven. The glory of the Lord is here. The cripples are walking. The blind are seeing. HIV/AIDS is being removed from the blood. This is breaking news, but yet this is a spiritual message. And as we can clearly see, the world, the flesh will not receive, will not accept this message. It cannot receive this message of warning, as this is spiritual preparation. It is time to repent and surrender to the Lord, precious saints. I would like to read again from the word of the Lord, And this is from the book of Job, chapter 32. The book of Job 32, verses 15 through 22. This is Job 32, verses 15 to 22. They are dismayed and have no more to say. Words have failed them. Must I wait now that they are silent? Now that they stand there with no reply, I too will have my say. I too will tell what I know. For I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Inside I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins ready to burst. I must speak and find release. I must open my lips and reply. I will show no partiality, nor will I flatter anyone. For if I were skilled in flattery, my Maker would soon take me away. Precious saints, these are the days that the Holy Spirit is among us and dwelling among us. And we must shout the cries of warning to the nations to repent from all sin, to repent from sexual sin, to repent from money in the church, to repent from homosexuality. The Messiah is coming, precious saints. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. That is the message to the church, precious listeners. The Lord has sent witnesses to, eyewitnesses to the United States, just as his word commands, that these things would be established out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. The end time revival, it is real. It is sweeping the globe. It is sweeping from all the way to the time zones of Asia, Australia, all the way to the southern tip of Chile. Every continent on planet Earth, and some nations are experiencing massive revival, the miracles of the Lord, as we see in Kenya, the undisputed, undeniable, they're the heavyweight champions of the world, if you will, in the end time revival, hosting many, many revival events where the miracles of the Lord, they do manifest. The Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, shows up. It is well documented. We are eyewitnesses to what the Lord is doing. This message isn't about the showiness of the miracles. It's about getting the church prepared to enter into the kingdom of God, to prepare the church for rapture. It's about the coming of the Messiah. It's about authenticating the message, the authenticity of the messenger. These are the signs and the wonders the Lord promised and has always done with his servants, the prophets, as he prepares the church for the coming of the Messiah. It's a very real global revival. In the West, not as large, for in the West, we have bowed down to money. We have become very well-fed and very complacent, and we have entirely forgotten the word of the Lord, and the house of the Lord is in shambles in the United States of America, as an example. And we know the Holy Spirit will resurrect the remnant bride, and we see that now, even, where we see the remnant bride, the Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones, being resurrected as the Lord begins to bring up his end-time servants, his end-time ministers, the remnant bride, to enter into the kingdom of God. Just as he spoke to Elijah and said, yea, there are thousands others that have not bowed their knee to Baal. and so it is with throughout the nations of the globe. The revival is very real. The message and the word of the Lord is being fulfilled. One scripture to reaffirm that you heard referenced in the message of the Lord was Isaiah chapter 26. The mighty prophet was sharing Isaiah 26. It starts at verse 19, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. This is the Lord speaking through his servant, the mighty prophet Isaiah. This is the day of rapture in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of the morning, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. That's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. We see the rapture of the church, and that was the New King James Version, by the way, and the morning dew. That morning dew is this revival now in preparation of entering into the kingdom of God, into the rapture. And we see the very clear language of entering the chambers, and we see the clear language again, the shutting of the door. For behold, the Lord comes out of his dwelling place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That's verse 21. And if these are the birth pangs that we are seeing now, the level of deception in the church, which is absolutely horrific, a church that's supposed to be the moral compass, that's supposed to be the standard, that's supposed to be filled with the wisdom of the mighty Holy Spirit, but instead is preaching money, is preaching things of the world, is preaching how your life can be so much better, ignore the Lord, and acquire some things. They'll leave the ignore the Lord out, perhaps, but acquiring things and focusing on the world is a time-tested technique of the enemy. This is how he goes about deceiving. We saw it in the garden. We see it again in Matthew chapter 4 in the desert with Christ, always, always pointing to the earth. This is what the church is doing now. Instead of pointing to heaven, pointing to the kingdom of God, pointing at the salvation of our Lord. And as we know, the mighty Holy Spirit will always point us to the cross and to the blood. He is powerful, all-powerful. He is mighty, and he is holy. And we have forgotten holiness entirely. We have forgotten that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 16, summarizing many of the commands in the Old Testament, such as, example, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he may see no one excuse me, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. And again in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. That's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Also read through Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. And then, of course, Leviticus chapter 10, where we are commanded to approach the Lord holy. And what we see today, as we approach the Lord with immoral dressing, we approach the Lord with ungodly music and sensuous dancing. We approach the Lord very casually, and in fact, we've brought the Lord down to our level of human sin. But the Word says, and the Lord says, that He is high and lifted up, and that He is holy. Hebrews 12:14. For without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And this is the call. This is the alert. This is the wake-up call to the church in the United States and to the globe, but specifically here, as the Lord sends witnesses, eyewitness testimony to the United States. It's true. The ways of the Lord, they changed not. It's true, every word of the Lord will be fulfilled. It is written in the Gospels. It is written throughout the Bible. It will indeed be fulfilled. The Joel 2:28 through 32 revival is real, as shocking as that may be. And as you heard mentioned earlier, it's a spiritual message. It's not something that CNN or the BBC or even Al Jazeera would run with and say, oh, look, there's a revival going on. It looks like a repentance revival with miracles. No, they won't do that because there's no money involved and there's no fame involved. And it's not about building a man's kingdom or a man's church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the children of the Lord entering into the kingdom of the Lord. You won't see the media swarming around this news, even though it is, as Pastor Jose mentioned, truly, this is breaking news. This is the biggest news that hit planet Earth in 2,000 years. This is the largest revival that planet Earth has ever seen. And again, breaking news, the biggest in 2,000 years. And the largest revival that planet Earth has ever seen. And it's going on right now. And hence the alert, the admonishment, the warning, and the encouragement to investigate what the Lord has commanded and see that in the Word, when He calls us to holiness and He calls us to righteousness, this isn't a new thing. This has always been the Lord. Holiness and righteousness are eternal. Righteousness is the currency of heaven. It is eternal. There will be no dollars there. We thank the Lord for that. And yet we see the church has forgotten and focused all of her attention and all of her energy and all of her worldly concerns upon the things of the world. The things that evaporate, the things that vanish, the things that are utterly meaningless, the dung of the world, and have forgotten that, oh, righteousness and holiness, they endure forever. The Lord has called us to righteousness and holiness. We see it consistently, whether in Leviticus, whether in Deuteronomy, whether in Exodus, 1 Peter, in Hebrews, also in the Gospels. This is the word of the Lord. This is the theme. It's thematic. He's consistent, and this is the call that's going out throughout the United States, the call to repent from the unholiness, from the ungodly entertainment, from the ungodly Hollywood movies, from the ungodly television and ungodly music that the church has been focused on, the pornography, the sexual sin and lusting with the eyes, the love of money, the love of fame and status in the puffing up of one's own self, the self-aggrandizement, the own personal delusions, where those have decided to make their own philosophy of Scripture and have ignored the word of the Lord, to become so boastful, prideful, and arrogant that we see theories and theses promoted. This is how we think it will be. And yet the Lord has sent his servant to tell us exactly how it is. And so the Lord has sent the authority, but yet if the children are in a rebellion, of course they would reject the authority. And this is the call to don't do that. The love of our Lord, it's the gift of God that he opens our spiritual ears that we can hear, and he opens our spiritual eyes that we can see. It's the love of the Lord that he set us straight. It's the love of the Lord that he sent this revival, that we would enter, that we would prepare, we would understand with our hearts, we would enter into the kingdom of God. And that in the meantime, when we walk in the wilderness of repentance, we saw John the Baptist in the wilderness preaching repentance before the coming of the Messiah. That's John chapter 1. And we see that's exactly where John is, the mighty prophet. He's preaching repentance, the remission of sins and baptism in the wilderness. And isn't it amazing? So it is today. The Lord has taken second and third world nations for the revival meetings. It's a wilderness, if you will, to those of us in the West. To those of us in the West, even though they could be speaking the same language, we're even having a hard time understanding that. But these are the ways of the Lord. Very elegant. He has always done this. He did this with John the Baptist. And by the way, Elijah was with the widow in Zarephath for many years. That's Elijah, the prophet of Israel, in Zarephath for many years. These are the ways of our Lord. And isn't he wonderful? Very consistent and changes not. We bless the Lord for that. One more scripture. This is the parable of the sower. This is what the Lord has been sharing consistently and speaking to the church. When we talk and we say, oh, we're repenting, and we read in Matthew 3 with John the Baptist, where is the fruit of repentance? Are we really living like we believe the Lord is returning soon? Are we really living like we believe and live for the Lord? Or are we living for ourselves? Are we living for the flesh? And are we living for the world? And the Lord tells us very clearly that you will know by their fruits. In the parable of the sower, Jesus gives the secrets to the kingdom of God. This is Matthew chapter 13. And the Lord calls it right out. These are the secrets of the kingdom of God. He gives the parable of the sower first to those of the many and the large crowd. And then he gives the interpretation to the disciples. Let's pick it up at verse 10. This is Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And remember the context, just as John said, where is the fruit of repentance? So we read in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Here we find the parable of the sower, and this is the fruit of the word of the Lord that goes out. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them." And the Lord goes on, we'll start at verse, pick it up at verse 18, and he gives the detailed explanation of the mysteries of the kingdom of God to the disciples, to the church. This is to the church, to the disciples, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To the crowds, he did not give this. This is verse 18, Matthew chapter 13. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That's the fowl of the air earlier in Matthew chapter 13. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it a joy. But since they have no root, they quickly fall away. That's verse 21. This is very troubling. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, because of the word, they quickly fall away. And this is what we see all throughout the church in the United States. And if the listeners and those throughout even the globe were to be honest, you know, been walking with the Lord for 10 years, been walking with the Lord for 15 years, 20 years, some 30 years, but are we really walking with the Lord? Or was it only a short time because the root was minimal? Trouble and persecution came. It might have been friends and family and had a hard time standing alone. It could have been drugs and alcohol and pornography and the things of the world. And then we fell away. Verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And here we see the deceitfulness of wealth, the prosperity gospel, the deceit of the world, and the popularity, the going to politics to answer our problems, when the word of the Lord and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit, has been given to the church, and she's handed off the moral compass has become confused. She's graded holiness on a curve. Now our leaders have no anointing and no leadership at all because the church has abandoned her role. She's chased money and wealth. And the Lord tells us it's the deceitfulness of wealth. We see this with the prosperity gospel running just globally, amok, wild. It's hard to put a metaphor around how large this stain, this contagion actually is. It is on every continent. You can't turn on Christian television, Christian radio, Christian broadcasting, anything without this corrupt gospel of the world, this chimera gospel. That the chimera creature, a hideous creature that preaches Christ out of one side and then Baal and money out of the other side of her mouth. And that deceitfulness of wealth has choked the word, making it unfruitful. Now we know why there's no stone left upon another. And now we know why there are more sheep outside of the buildings of church than there are inside, the deceitfulness of wealth. Verse 23, these are the secrets of the kingdom of God the Lord Jesus shared with the apostles to the church, the word of the Lord. This is the acid test, the fruit. This is the fruit of the word of the Lord. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Verse 23. Again, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. In other words, if we've been walking with the Lord and hearing the word for many years, and the soil is good, then certainly we would be yielding 30, 60, or 100 times more. There is no such thing as a closet Christian. It's kind of like saying I had closet persecution. No, it doesn't work that way. It's out in the open and it's public. These are things that cannot be hidden. There is no such thing as a closet Christian. And I know many will say, well, that, you know, that's for this calling in life or that calling in life. And it's true, we all are called and have unique callings that the Lord has given us. But clearly, the Lord's word says we will produce and yield as a fruit 30, 60, a crop 100 times more than what was originally sown. And Christ later goes on in details, unless a seed die, it does not produce fruit. When that seed hits the ground, it does indeed die, becomes a plant, and starts to produce the fruit. And that's why we're called to a life of dying in the flesh, to crucify the flesh, to put away the deeds of the flesh. Again, lining up exactly with righteousness and holiness, the message of the Lord, of the Spirit, which is hostile to the flesh, where the flesh must go. This is the secret of the kingdom of the Lord in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. This is a very good acid test in one's own life. This is the word of the Lord. He gave us the secret, spoke it to the church, to the disciples, not to the crowd, did not give the understanding to them. This is how we can measure. Oh, we say we're walking with the Lord, and we say we're preparing to enter, but are we really? And the Lord gives us very good guidelines, and again, also The Lord gave us the highway of holiness in Isaiah chapter 35, I believe, Isaiah chapter 35, the highway of holiness for more signs in the life of a believer that we're walking in the direction and hearing from the Lord. We thank the Lord for that opportunity and for the word. On the line also, we have from Maryland Altar, Pastor Raymond Ruffel. And I don't know, Pastor Raymond, if you're still with us or not. And we have about 14 minutes, Pastor Raymond. Is there anything that you would like to share with the listeners on the message of the Lord?
Hello, Pastor Lou and Pastor Jose.
Shalom.
There's nothing really
Shalom.
To add. You guys have done a great job. I would just like to point out what the man of God said in the message earlier as far as spiritual maturity, because it doesn't matter how long you've been serving. It doesn't matter how many people you tell about the message. That is not what equates to spiritual maturity. Rather, living a holy life, that's what spiritual maturity is about. Coming out from the world, that's what spiritual maturity is about. And just the other day on Jesus is Lord Radio, the Mighty Prophet was, I guess they played one of his messages where he was talking about if you see a church where women wear miniskirts and it's okay. If you see a church where they talk about money and it's okay. If you see a church where the prayer group people call each other at night and it's okay and start flirting, run away from that church. If you see a church where when the pastor starts preaching, the mother grabs their son and walk out of that church. The pastor is rebuking sin. If you see a church that cries against money, you need to protect that church. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we are as far as right now. We need to protect the church that is standing on the word, because everywhere you go, the deception has already started and is already, you could almost say the entire United States church or Christians are like, is like an apostate church right now, you know. Only a few places, and some that I have never seen actually preach the word, and I thank God for them if they're out there. But for the most part, the entire United States church is like an apostate church done. Therefore, if you see a church where people are standing on the word, it's your duty as a Christian to protect that church. And most of all, how you live your life is what determines whether or not you're a mature Christian. Not what you say, not what you tell others, not how many people you tell about the gospel, but how do you live your life? You don't want to trample down the grace of God. Right now we are living under open heaven, and as the prophet said, the door is open. Before he saw the temple and the golden dome, the door heaven opened. Before he saw the two golden rings in the sky, heaven opened. And it's our time to get in right now. And we don't want to miss out on this opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, we just need to pray and persevere. Pray for the Holy Spirit and pray for his guidance on a day-to-day basis. That's all I would like to say, Pastor Lou.
Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. That's Pastor Raymond Ruffel from the Maryland Altar. Matthew 18:16. Take with you one or two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And I want the precious listeners to know that is exactly what the Lord has done this evening and has brought two and, yes, three witnesses to establish the word of the Lord. It is our walking in agreement with the Lord. It is indeed how we live. It's not about bribing the Lord with money or bribing the Lord and we did this for the Lord and we did that for the Lord. That's not the fruit the Lord is referring to in the parable of the sower. That's not the fruit in Galatians chapter 5. That's not the fruit of the cross. It's the fellowship with the Lord to walk in agreement with him. It's walking in righteousness and holiness, just as Enoch walked with the Lord and then was no more and was with the Lord. Pastor Jose, if you're still with us, thank you, Pastor Raymond. Pastor Jose, if you're still with us, we have about 8 minutes left. If there's anything else you would like to wrap up with this evening's segment.
Amen, Pastor Lou and Pastor Raymond. Amen. And all the precious saints. Yes, this is a very powerful message, and we bless the Lord so much that he has brought together three witnesses this evening, and we stand in one accord with this message, and it is the time of warning, precious saints, to the church in America, to the precious saints in America. We must heed the warning, precious saints. We must run away from money in the church. We must run away from all sexual sin completely, precious saints. As Pastor Raymond said about immoral dressing in the church, immoral dressing brings lust to the eyes of men, and that is a very horrific sin in the eyes of the Lord and in the word of the Lord. And we must be aware of that. Even those that are wearing that type of clothing, that you are causing others to sin because of your appearance. And we must walk in holiness, precious saints. I know Pastor Lou gave verses that speak on holiness, and holiness is a requirement. It is a requirement. It is a requirement, precious saints, if we want to stand before the Lord. We must walk in holiness. We must seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, precious saints. And everything else will be added unto us. And everything else, precious saints, is not cars, houses, money, 401k accounts, the wealth of this world. No, it's the gifts of the Spirit. It's the treasures and the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, which we are receiving now, even while we are still here on earth. The Lord has sent us his very mighty prophet, is clarifying the word of the Lord and is revealing the secrets of the Lord to the Lord's sheep. And we must heed the warnings, and we must turn away from all sin, precious saints. And we must surrender to the Lord in complete repentance, because this revival is a revival of repentance. This power of this anointing is birthed from repentance of the people. There is tremendous power in repentance. And as Pastor Lou mentioned earlier, that John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, and he preached the message of repentance. And this is happening again. We are hearing the message of repent, repent, repent. And this is going out from nation to nation. And the Lord has chosen the very humble nation of Kenya to birth this revival and to show the standard of the oil and the wine church to the nation, even to the United States of America, as it is considered the world's superpower, but it lacks the power of the kingdom of heaven. And it has walked away completely from the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord. And we must repent, precious saints. And humility is required. The United States of America is very proud and has too much pride to even acknowledge the nations and the nation of Africa. We must be broken, precious saints. Our Lord is humble. And the largest revival in the history of the Bible has broken out from the nation of Kenya. And the mightiest prophet of the Lord, Dr. David Edward Olor, is here among us. And he has been spreading the message of repentance and has been shouting to the nation, Isaiah 40, verse 3, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight his path, precious saints. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. We must prepare a glorious garment. We must prepare our wedding garments without spot or wrinkle. We must surrender to the Lord in complete repentance, seeking his holiness, because you have heard that in Hebrews 12, 14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Luke.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. The word has been consistent. The message has been consistent. We bless the Lord, for our God is consistent. Not a God of confusion, but a God of order. He doesn't make things difficult for us. We've heard the message of repentance to reform, to return away from sin. Let's take this moment in this time now, while heaven is still open, and call upon the mighty Holy Spirit. Precious listeners, let's repent, and let's also repent as a nation, but most importantly, be certain you repent and enter into the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Mighty Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I repent for all sins, Lord. Please forgive me. Please fill me with your mighty Holy Spirit, Lord, that I would walk in righteousness and walk in holiness in agreement with you, Lord. Thank you, mighty Father. Though my sins be as scarlet, the blood of the Lamb, you've washed them white as snow. And I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. This day, I am born again. Amen.
Wow.
We have
Hallelujah.
But a few seconds. Hallelujah. We have a few seconds for just some other sources as well. Please repent and prepare the way.org, which is on the radio website as well. Arrepiente.org for the Spanish translations. We bless the Lord and thank the Lord for the opportunity. And until the next segment and the next show on Wednesday, if the Lord tarries, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.